Rava is making three statements on Hazama, how people become Edim Zomim. It started off with this point that the way Edim Zomim become Zomim is where what they said, or I should say, the contradiction of their testimony is about them personally. So they say they witnessed a murder. If two witnesses come along and say, you couldn't have witnessed the murder of those people in that place at that time because we were with the victim in a different place, then they're not Zomim. They're Mukhashim, they're contradicted, their testimony's thrown out, but they're not Zomimin. Zomim is specifically Imanu Heyisem. You, the witnesses, were with us when you say this happened somewhere else. And we had the whole My Cousin Vinny discussion last time about what that meant. You could have gone from here to there. You could have seen from there to there. But that was the...
positive traction.
Yeah. The I'm not going to remember the make of the car. But that was sort of the way all of this started. So we said, in the event that two people say a murder happened in Surah on Sunday morning, and then two Adam come along and say, we were with those witnesses in Neherda on Sunday evening. So we said, then they are Zomim, assuming you can't get from point A to point B, Surah to Neherda, in that period of time. And then we talked about maybe you have to worry, maybe they took a fast camel or whatever. So that brings us to the third of Rava's statements. We are, let's see where this is. Yeah. We're about 15 lines up from the bottom on Hey Amud Aleph, 15 to 20. Amar Rava. If you're counting from where the lines get wide and you're going down, it's about 11, 12 lines down. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Good? Okay. So Amar Rava. Bo Shnayim V'omru. Two witnesses come along and they say, B'chad B'shab Saharg Ploni Yes HaNefesh. It was Sunday when this guy killed somebody. And two witnesses come along and say, you were with us on Sunday. Ella betrayed Bishabsa Harag Ploni Yes Hanefesh. What you're saying is true, though. We know there was a murder, but the murder happened on Monday. And all the facts are the same. You're right about the murderer. You're right about the victim of the murder. You're right even about the place. But it was Monday, not Sunday. So you said it happened on Sunday. You were with us on Sunday. It actually happened on Monday. V'lo od, ela afilu amru erev Shabbos harag ploni es hanefesh. Not only that, even if the second set of witnesses says, you were right about the place, you were right about the person, it was just on Friday. You say it happened on Sunday, but it actually was the preceding Friday. No one's talking Shabbos here. Murders don't happen on Shabbos. We're very careful about that. So in such a case, they get killed. Because when they testified that this murder took place, the guy was not liable for death. You follow what Rava is saying?
Which guy?
So let's put names on it because this doesn't work without names. So you've got Reuben and Shimon because everybody's Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben and Shimon testify that they saw Levi kill Yehuda in whatever place. Along come two other people. We don't care about them. And they say, Reuben and Shimon, you were with us when you say that happened. But Levi really did kill Yehuda. It was just a day later. So two things happen at this point. Number one, Levi's going to get killed because he committed murder. Mm. But number two, Reuben and Shimon, the Zomimin, they're the ones who are now contradicted, right, are also going to get killed because they tried to get Levi killed with this false claim. Is that clear?
How do you know?
So the second set claimed that they saw them, just happened to murder a day later. They saw
yes.
the murder a day later.
Yeah. Everything you're saying is true, except that your testimony about this day, that's the fishy part.
So it can't be that they just inadvertently had said the wrong day?
So that's the Gemara later. Right. So the Gemara is going to have to discuss that question later. Like, what's an honest mistake?
Right.
You know, you're telling me that that we're going to execute these people for, you know, maybe it was a mistake. So that we have to talk about. But that's what we're saying right now. And not only that, here's the real novelty. even where these other two witnesses show up and they say the murder really did happen, just not on that day, even if they say the murder happened the preceding Friday, which means the time when you say the guy committed murder, when you say Levy committed murder, he really was a murderer. So I would have looked at that and said, well, in that case, you were trying to incriminate a dead man, right? You tried to incriminate a guy who's supposed to get executed anyway. So therefore, you shouldn't be called Adam Zelman. Doesn't matter. Because Levy, at the time that they came to testify against him, Levy wasn't up for death. Right? No one said anything at that point. No Beis Din had said anything. So you came, Reuven and Shimon, you came to give false testimony about Levy to get him killed? Turns out that you were with us when you say that, whatever. Now they're Adam Zelman and they get killed for it. Yeah.
So the second set of witnesses are the ones that are making the first set Zelman, and they're the ones that are causing Levy to die. It has nothing to do with the second. Reuven and Shimon are out. Like, there's Zomim, they're out.
Correct.
It's the second set which is causing Levy to die.
Correct.
So then the whole thing shouldn't matter of, like, was he up for murder or not? Because it's just, you have a new set of witnesses coming and saying, Levy killed someone. We saw him.
Right. Right. But isn't it odd? I mean, when you think about it, fundamentally, he's a dead man anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No, only if the others would have come and testified against him.
Correct.
So not necessarily. I mean,
correct.
You could say, similarly, if... Well, we're going to come up with a different scenario. Let's say he was actually already... if you're testifying against an actual dead man.
Right. So let's see where this goes in the Gemara. Because there's more to say that may answer that. So the Gemara asks, "My kamash malan. What are you exactly teaching me when you tell me this this halacha? When you're telling me that this guy had not yet been sentenced to death? Tanena, this is already obvious because I have a Mishnah. We haven't seen this Mishnah yet. It's going to be on Vav Amud Beis, which says the following: Lefichach, therefore, im nimtzeis achas mehen zomemes hu vehenin heragin vashnia petura." The Mishnah is going to talk about a case in which two groups of witnesses testify against somebody. So Reuven and Shimon come along and testify that Levi committed murder, Levi killed Yehuda. Along come Yisachar and Zvulun, they testify, same thing, that Levi killed Yehuda. And then the one set of those becomes Edim Zelman. The other set is accepted. So the rule is, we punish the Zomimin even though their testimony is upheld. That's the Mishnah. So since the Mishnah already tells me that, why do I need Rava? Right? If a Mishnah can already tell me that where Reuven and Shimon told what turned out to be the truth, they were just lying about their role in it, we're going to execute them as Zomimin. So now I could extrapolate from there that if they said it happened on Sunday and it really did happen, it just happened on a different day, they're also going to get executed. Why, you know, why do I need Rava? You understand? There are too many cases, too many names, too many, like, Kobe, you with me?
Yeah.
So are we good? That's what we don't follow here. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Seifa, Mashain came Bigmardin Itzrichale. The reason why you needed Rava is because of Rava's statement about the case in which the reason why you needed it is because of the end of Rava's statement, which we haven't seen yet, which says it's different where this is about Gmardin. What am I talking about? Gmardin means the verdict. What is that? Two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, show up. They don't say the murder took place on Sunday. They say that on Sunday, the verdict was in from Beis Din that this guy committed murder. He was found guilty in Beis Din at that point. And then along come Yisachar and Zvulun, and they say, no, in fact, the verdict came in on Friday. you were with us on Sunday. Velo ode lafilu amru betray b'shabs and nigmar dino shaploni. And even if they said that it happened on Monday that there was a gemar din, ain elu neharagin, they are not killed. Debeidna de kamasidi gavar bar katalahu, because at the time that they testified, this guy was up to get executed. Let me make sure that that's clear. You know what? In order to make it clearer, I think I know how to make it clearer. Go back to a Rashi. Take a look at the Rashi on the first case that we dealt with. Two said that the murder happened on Sunday, and then two other witnesses say, no, you were with us on Sunday. The murder actually happened on Monday. The murder actually happened on Friday. So if you take a look at Rashi on that, it is Rashi Dibra Maschil Maitaima. Yeah, that's what I want. Maitaima Dibidna de Kamasa. Do you see that? Kishabo Yom Shlishi Bishabis Lahayid Olav. When they came on Tuesday to testify, Akati Gavra Lav Barkatala. So this alleged murderer was not subject to death. Shalohuad Olav Bebasedin, because nobody had testified about him yet in Basedin. Ve'ilu hava asi umoda hava mifter. And had he come to Basedin and admitted it, he would have been exempt from any punishment. So they're causing guy to die when he shouldn't have died. That's Rashi's way to frame it.
Or what about Chayav Misa v'Yishamayim? Does that matter? If he kills someone, are you not Chayav Misa?
So, hold the question. Okay. Just hold the question. Let me first understand Rashi, and then we'll see Tosfos' question on Rashi, at which point your question will fall apart. So we just have to go, we'll go step by step. Rashi is trying to explain to me what Rava meant. I was trying to race through Rava, and clearly that's a mistake. Again, Rava says, two witnesses show up and they say, we saw the murder. The murder happened on Sunday. Turns out the guy really did commit murder. He committed murder on Friday. He committed murder on Monday, just not on Sunday. And they say they saw it on Sunday, but we know it's not true. On Sunday, they were in the other part of the world, right? So we're saying they're getting executed as Zomen. Rashi wants to know, why is it that they're being executed as Zomen? What they said was fundamentally true. This guy committed murder. But the answer is you were missing Gemar Din. There was no verdict against him. Without a verdict against him, he's not a dead man. Why isn't he a dead man without it? Rashi says, because if he showed up in Beis Din, if they had never said what they said, and he showed up in Beis Din and said, I killed somebody, the result would be he would not be executed. That's Rashi's statement. Are we clear on that?
He's not a dead man.
He's not a dead man.
That's just always how it works. If you come and you admit it, you're not.
He can't admit guilt.
Well, if he admits guilt.
If he admits guilt, he doesn't get the death penalty.
Right. So Eitan, if he's listening to this audio, is screaming at the computer at this point, or whatever it is that he's listening on, because Rashi just made up a rule.
Yeah, where was this on Beis Amin?
No, this whole thing, what Rashi just said, is absolutely 100% not true. We have a rule which says, Mode b'knas patur. If a person is liable to pay a fine for something, and then he comes to Beis Din and he says, you know, I did X, and that X warrants having to pay a fine, right? He stole from somebody. And he comes to Beis Din, he admits that he stole. So he won't have to pay the double. He'll have to restore what he stole. And he doesn't have to pay kefil. He doesn't have to pay the double. Mode b'knas patur. You admit the fine that you owe, you're exempt from having to pay the fine. That's true. That statement is true. We have no such concept when it comes to a death penalty. None. There is no such thing. A person is liable for it. A person killed somebody and he walks into Beis Din and says, I killed somebody. Number one, we say to him, get yourself a good lawyer, right? But number two, we do not say to him, you're exempt now from a death penalty. That's not a thing. Which is why I say to you, the whole Misa B'Dei Shemayim thing doesn't even start.
Right.
This is Tosus's question. Tosus said, I don't know where my grandfather invented that. If you take a look, Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page. At the time that the witnesses testified, this guy wasn't up for death. Pirish HaKuntras, Rashi said, Mishum de'i hava moda mifter, because if he acknowledged it on his own, he'd be exempt. Velo nira, that doesn't appear correct. De'zelo matzinu, we have no such concept. Are you trying to tell me that every time somebody's supposed to get executed in Beis Din, he just has to walk in and say he's guilty and that's it? He's off the hook? That's nonsense. That's just not true. So Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos' explanation is because if these guys hadn't come into Beis Din, this goes back to what Baruch said before, if these false witnesses had not shown up in Beis Din, we have no guarantee that the real witnesses are going to show up later and say something. It could be there will never be any valid testimony against him, right? What we're saying is, Reuven and Shimon came into Beis Din and said, Levi killed Yehuda. What if Reuven and Shimon never did that? Do we have any guarantee that Yisachar and Zvulun are going to come in and say, we saw Levi kill Yehuda? Of course not. We have no idea. That's the key point. It has nothing to do with admitting what he did. And I mean, Rashi never wrote that. Somebody else wrote that and stuck that in Rashi. Rashi would never have said that. But the key point for us is he's not going to get executed until witnesses come along and incriminate him. And there's a Beis Din process.
It's like a Schrodinger's cat kind of thing almost. It's like
he's in limbo.
He's in limbo, and
yeah. Yeah, correct. They have this line in the United States of America, innocent until proven guilty, right? He's not yet liable for death. Even though it turns out that he had actually committed murder by then, doesn't make a difference. So therefore, whether he committed the murder the day after when they say it happened, or whether he committed the murder the day before they said it happened. The bottom line is, until two witnesses come to Beis Din, testify that he did it, and the Beis Din finds him guilty, there is no conversation to be had. And therefore, they're liable for death for what they did. That was Rava's initial statement. That was Rava's initial, that was our starting point, 15 minutes ago. That was Rava's initial statement. The Gemara then challenged and said, I didn't need Rava to tell me that. I have a Mishnah on Vav Amid Beis that's going to tell me that. When we get there, one's going to be like, oh, I remember that. We did that in Hey Amid Aleph a few weeks ago. The Mishnah says that. I don't need Rava to tell me that. Says the Gemara, you're right. You don't need Rava for that. You need Rava because there's a second statement that Rava makes. Rava's second statement is to say, let's say the witnesses weren't talking about having seen the murder. The witnesses were talking about having seen the trial. The witnesses showed up in Beis Din. Real witnesses, valid witnesses, showed up in Beis Din and testified that that this guy is, this is, let's put some dates on this and make it easier. We're now in Adar Sheni. So let's say the witnesses showed up in Kislev in Beis Din, and they said they saw the murder, right? Two witnesses show up now in Adar in Beis Din, and the two witnesses say, we saw the trial back in Kislev, and we saw the verdict handed down back in Kislev, and this guy was found liable for death back in Kislev, and the Beis Din never executed him, but he was found liable for death back in Kislev. That's their testimony. And then two other witnesses come along and say, you say it happened that day in Kislev, but you were with us. It actually happened a week later in Kislev. Or earlier in Kislev. It doesn't matter. In that case, if that's their testimony, now they're showing up in Adar and saying, back in Kislev, this guy was found guilty in Beis Din. And it was true. It was just the wrong date, and it wasn't them who saw it. In that case, we say, oh, you're not getting executed. Why? Because by the time you showed up in Adar to testify in Beis Din, there was a Beis Din verdict against this man. Now he was a dead man. He's no longer Schrodinger's kittens, cat or kittens. Now he's actually liable for death.
But why would you ever be liable for death for testifying that he was convicted by a court previously.
If not, what you're saying...
That's not testifying that this guy actually committed the murder. You're testifying that he was convicted by a court. Right? So you're not like a direct witness to any murder. You're just testifying that he was convicted by...
Right.
That wasn't true.
That will cause another court to put him to death.
Exactly. The key is that you're getting him executed. Right, so whatever reason the...
Like, it's only in case you're bringing new information to light. This is not new information. You're just bringing up old information.
Right. So in the event that you went back... Let me first answer Barth and then answer you. It's as Kobe said.
Was this in a prior week that wasn't here?
No. Maybe. The statement that we're making is that as long as you're doing something that's going to get somebody to suffer something... And it turns out, you know, you were with them at the time that you say you saw it happen. You're going to get whatever punishment you tried to give this guy. So what they were trying to give this guy is the death penalty. Because as Kobe said, you saying this person was found liable for death and it was just never carried out, that's going to cause a Beis Din here to say, well, I guess we should, you know, finish business. That's the idea. So going back to Bobby's question now, because I don't remember what it was.
In a regular Zomen case, you're bringing new information.
Like, right.
No one knew he killed him. You're saying he killed him, so he's in trouble. But with this, you're not bringing new information. You're just telling people what they could already verify from another court if they wanted to.
But it's still new information, because this Beis Din wasn't aware of it until you said it. It's not like they had any reason to go, you know, contacting courts and running background checks.
Is this I don't know if I'm asking a question on nice, or is it actually relevant? Like, I also had Bobby's question, wasn't sure if it was covered previously. Like, is that how it would commonly work, or is this just a totally theoretical idea?
Totally theoretical idea. Could happen, but it's totally theoretical.
So the Beis Din that issues the verdict wouldn't also be the Beis Din responsible for carrying out the
execution? No, definitely it's supposed to happen. It is supposed to happen.
Right, that's really...
It's supposed to happen. Why didn't it happen? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't understand, why we have that rule, because it seems like such a deterrent to anyone wanting to testify in a capital case, because, God forbid, you mess up the day, inadvertently, you're going to get killed. I don't know if it applies to, like, other aspects of your testimony as well. Like, you had the right day, but the wrong murder weapon or something. Like,
that's not
so
fine.
But it doesn't. Right, so that's the mission.
Maybe that's the point where I get it right, but why would anyone take the chance?
Right, so that's the mission in Sanhedrin. The mission in the beginning, I think it's the fourth parak of Sanhedrin, talks about how they intimidate the witnesses in a capital case.
Yeah.
And that's that famous line, if you kill one person, it's like you killed an entire world. That's that Mishnah. Like, that's one of the things they tell the witnesses. And at that point, the Mishnah says, and you might then say, well, Mali Batsara Hazos, what do I need with all this? Like, why would I want to, you know? But the answer is, because justice is really important.
And I get it, like, in another Age Zomim case where you're saying someone did something and they didn't actually do it,
mm-hmm.
right? Why you would want to punish the Aiden Zomim, but here where the guy actually did kill someone, maybe day before, day later, but he did do it, you just, I don't know, I'm just stuck with the honest mistake thing, but I get why.
Didn't you say that you're willing to become the Aiden Zomim if the punishment is carried out?
Yeah, well, no, if it isn't carried out.
If it isn't carried out.
If it is not carried out. Otherwise, you're at Stuki, so don't do that.
Okay.
It's going to be on Hammond base. But what is true, Eva, you were going there from what Elliot said before, the only way they're getting this penalty that they tried to impose is specifically if the way they're caught is with, you were with us when you say that you saw this. Any other mistake just means we throw out their testimony, they go home. The only mistake that gets them killed is, you were with us when you say that you saw this thing happen. That's the only one. It's Xeris HaKasif. That's the way the Torah presents it. Even if we find out, like we have audio tapes showing that they plotted to get this guy, it doesn't make a difference. This is the only way that that can happen to them. So that's what we're saying Rava is teaching us here, that that it's only where the actual, where the only way that they are going to get killed is in the event that their testimony is about the murder. And at the time they testified, nobody else had come forward to testify about the murder. But in the event that they're testifying about the verdict, we saw the verdict, and the verdict already happened by the time they showed up in this Beis Din, then we're not going to execute them because he, in fact, is a dead man. There already is a verdict against him. It just hasn't been carried out. Last bit here. We are five lines up from the bottom. No, more than five. Eight or nine. V'chein le'inyan tashlume knas. The same thing is true regarding paying a fine, and maybe that piece that was in Rashi was transposed from here. Bo shnaim v'omru. Two witnesses showed up and they said, b'chad b'shabsa ganav v'tavach umachar. On Sunday, this guy stole. This guy shechted the animal he stole. He sold the animal he stole. You know that. In the event that you steal, geneva, you pay kefel. In the event that you steal an animal and you shecht the animal, you sell the animal, you have to pay four or five times the value of it. If it's a sheep, you pay this amount. If it's an ox, you pay that amount. The point is that there's a fine to be paid. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'chab b'shamsa imanu ayisim. And two witnesses showed up and said, you were with us when you say that happened on Sunday. Ela betray b'shamsa ganav tavach umachar. It happened on Monday. Mishalman, then they're going to have to pay. Right? And there, that comment from Rashi makes sense. Because this guy could have shown up in Beis Din, admitted it, and then he wouldn't have had to pay the fine. V'lo'od elafilu amru be'erev Shabbos ganav tavach umachar. Even if they said that on Friday he did it. Mishalman, they still have to pay, even though it's true even though they said it happened on Sunday and it really happened the previous Friday, they still have to pay. Because at the time that they testified, the guy didn't have to pay anything because no one had actually testified against him in Beis Din. Whereas, bo shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shamsa ganav atavach umachar v'nigmar dino, if they said on Sunday, we saw that his verdict was concluded in Beis Din for having stolen and shechted and sold and slaughtered the animal. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'chab shabbos yimanu ayisim. And two witnesses say, no, you were with us. Ela erev shabbos ganav atavach umachar v'nigmar dino. It was Friday when that happened. V'lo od ela filu amru b'chad b'shabbos ganav atavach umachar betray b'shabbos v'nigmar dino. Or they said it happened on Sunday. In fact, it happened on Monday. Ein mishaman, they don't pay. Because at the time that they testified, he already had to pay. I read that through quickly just because it's already the logical conclusion of what we just said, right? All we're saying is that in the event that you take the same thing that we discussed with a murder and just change it to a theft, and the same rules pertain. If your testimony was about something that wouldn't take effect until a Beis Din concluded it, then the fact that the crime actually took place doesn't save you. If it's that the verdict actually took place already, that's when. Because that's when this person is actually liable for it. Clear? Okay?
Just a question in these scenarios, are we contemplating that these people flat out lied and just got lucky that it matched a fact pattern that existed in reality? Or somehow that's what
got it? Yeah.
I just feel like Zomamim in general, I thought were like, they had to have an intention that they wanted this person to get.
The assumption is that there's intent.
So this example, specifically when it's about this guy got a verdict, the penalty verdict, could that be his motive? Like, the court's obviously going to check with the other court if before they put someone.
Maybe they don't have the ability to.
Feels like there's no, like, the motive for saying that this guy got a verdict against him is.
The assumption is that yes, this was intentional. This wasn't something that happened by accident. We'll have to talk about what happens if someone turns out to be a shogeg. But the assumption is that this is intentional. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could easily come up with a way that they weren't able to consult the Beis Din. Like that, don't worry about that. We can come up with that. Okay. New thought. That concludes Rava, which was really last time's business. Now we have a new thought. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah gave us the following case. There is a set of witnesses who testify to a murder. Along comes another set of witnesses who, not like what we just discussed, they say, well, the murder really did happen. They just come in and say, you can't testify to that. You were with us when you say that happened. And then a second set of witnesses to the murder shows up. And this set of what are called mazimin, that's the term for it, say to the second set, you can't testify to that. You were with us when you say that happened. And then the third set of witnesses shows up, and they say, no, you can't testify to that. You were with us when that happened. You know, that's like case after, you know, set after set after set. So in such a case, we had a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. If you take a look back at the Mishnah, which was in the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, the was it the one on Dalet Amud Aleph, or was it after? Sorry. It was, no, sorry, it's on Hamad Aleph. Still on Hamad Aleph. So the Tanakhama said, Kula mihargu, we're going to put to death all of the people who these guys knocked out. In other words, we're going to believe them about each set to whom they said this. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, but he said something funny. Ve'eino neharag ela kas harishona bilvad. They're not killed, only the first set.
That makes sense.
Really?
I think so.
Why?
Because it's only the first set that's testifying about an underlying capital, like the murder. The rest are testifying about somebody else's.
No. What we're saying is this. Let's say Levi and Yehuda show up and say, Reuven killed Shimon. Okay. Levi and Yehuda are my witnesses now. Along comes, I don't know, Avram and Yitzchak, and they say, Levi and Yehuda, you were with us when you say that happened. Off with your heads. Then along come Yisachar and Zvulun, and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. And Avram and Yitzchak say, no, you were with us. It's all about the murder.
Same as you. Like, yeah. Oh, no, you were with us.
Each set is trying to find that her actually committed the murder.
Correct.
It's just a matter of you couldn't have been it because you were.
Exactly.
Right.
So then why am I killing the first set? Why, if I believe that Avram and Yitzchak are liars, then there were liars in the first set also. What is Rabbi Yehuda talking about? That's what the Gemara wants to know. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer istitis hizu, top of the page, Hamad base. E istitis hizu, if this is really istitis, we gave different explanations for istitis, it meant either that this is a straying set of witnesses who are doing this, istitis like sota, or istitis from stis, which was a dye. They are coloring the ground with blood, or they are coloring the truth. However you wanted to read that line, afilu kas rishona namilo, then you shouldn't execute the first set of witnesses either. That's our objection. Why are you killing the first set? So the Gemara gives two answers. First, Amar Rabbi Avo answers, no, shekad muvahargu. What we're talking about is where it was too late, right? Avram Yitzchak said about the first set of witnesses, you guys are Zomamin, and the Beis Din executed them, right? They're an expeditious Beis Din. They took care of it right away, not like that other Beis Din which let the guy get away and caused all sorts of headaches, right? They said, we're doing this right. They executed them. And then along came two more witnesses, and Avram Yitzchak did that to them too, and Beis Din said, all right, time out. You know, we have to investigate this further. So therefore, only the first set gets killed. To which the Gemara says, that's a little obvious, no? My dahava hava, what are you telling me when you say we only kill the first Beis Din, the first set of witnesses? That's not a verdict. It's just what happened. Had they not been executed yet, you would not have done it. So that's clearly not what the Mishnah meant. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Ella Amar Rava Hachi Ki Amar. Rava says this is what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Im eina ela kas achas neheregas. Iika tfe ein neheragin. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, if they only did it to one set of witnesses, if Avram Yitzchak came and testified that this first set were Zomin, then they'll get killed. If they did it to more than one, then they don't get killed. So the Gemara says that doesn't read right. That's not the way the language was in the Mishnah. The language in the Mishnah was, if they did this to more, we only killed the first one. That means that there was more than one, and you chose to only kill the first one. Kas Mishona Bilvad. So the Gemara says, Ha Bilvad Ka Amar. It said, only this one. That implies there were more. So the Gemara says, yeah, Kasha. Okay. Yeah, you're right. The language doesn't really work. We have a general rule in the Gemara. When you see someone ask a question and the answer is kasha, that means this isn't an end of the world question. We could answer it, but we're not going to bother. It's a good question, pal. Okay, that's what kasha often means. The ritva here actually does come up with an answer. If you take a look at source Aleph, the Ritva says, "Va'amrinan kasha kolomar divade lishan demasnisin lo dok bataina." He says you're right. The language in the Mishnah is imprecise. That's true. "Va'hachi boy lememar," and this is what the Mishnah should say. "Eina neheregas." This group is not killed. "Ela kishalo ba'a lahazim kas acheres bilti osakashi achshav elenu rishona." It's not killed unless the only one that was huzam is them. "V'ashta shi rishona eina neheregas v'ilu haisa hi bilvad neheregas." Now that it's the first of many, it's not going to be killed. If they were the only one, they would be killed. That's the way to read the line. There's a way to make it fit. So the Ritva comes up with a way to make the text work in the Mishnah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because at the end of the day, it doesn't change where we are. But the conclusion here is we're not going to kill anyone on the word of these witnesses who have declared more than one group to be Zomamin. Clear? That introduces the question of concern for liars overall in Beis Din. Okay? People just showing up, I bring in my witnesses, they say what I want them to say, and nobody notices me slip them a check on the way out of Beis Din. Like that kind of a fear. That's what we're now walking into in the Gemara. So we get a story. Five lines down. "Hahi itisa." There was a woman. It always starts that way. "Hahi itisa de asoi sahadi v'ishtakur." This woman brought witnesses, and they turned out to be liars. Now, when we say liars, we don't mean zomamin. We just mean that, as Rashi says here, Beis Din started asking them questions, and they contradicted each other. One of the things in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the fourth parak, talks about how we cross-examine them. We bring them into the room separately, and we ask them a bunch of questions. There's a single light bulb hanging over the table. So they, under their questioning, contradicted each other. Okay? That's how our case starts. "I see Sahadi," but then she brought more witnesses to her case. "V'ishtaker," and they turn out to be liars. "Azla I see Sahadi Achrini Delo Ishtaker." Finally she brings another set of witnesses, and nope, we can't knock them out. They practiced their testimony well enough. Now they got it right. So Amar Reish Lakish Huchzaka Zu. Reish Lakish says, we don't accept these witnesses. She's bringing multiple sets of false witnesses. That just means that she finally got it right. Right? We gave her enough practice, and now she got it right. That doesn't mean that these guys are telling the truth. Reish Lakish says, she has a chazaka, and therefore we're not interested in listening to her new sets of witnesses. Amar le Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, im hi huchzaka kol Yisrael mi huchzaku. She may have a chazaka that she's bringing false witnesses, but these individual witnesses she's bringing are brand new. They don't have a chazaka. Why should we not believe them? It all depends on which way you look. If you look at her, she's a liar. But if you look at these witnesses, they have no track record. Why wouldn't I accept what they do wrong? They just happen to be on the wrong team. So why would we throw them out? That's the that's Rabbi Elazar's challenge.
It would make sense if it's we're not even going to accept them to the court.
Right. I mean, well, that's what he's suggesting. He said we won't even accept them in Beis Din.
You're saying so don't even interrogate them.
I'm saying
don't even talk. Yeah. No. That's what Reish Lakish was saying. He's saying like forget it. Why would we bother even listening to them? That's the idea. The Ritva on this. If you take a look at source Beis, he says, "Kasha li, this is difficult for me. Keva demodinan dehuchzaka hi, alma tamas sheker hi toenes." Since we're acknowledging that she has a chazaka, that means that she's saying something false. It should be ta'anas probably. The kevin shata'anasa sheker ha'edim shemeidim kidvarash sheker hemeidim v'zem buskal rishon. He's essentially supporting Reish Lakish's idea. He says, what does it mean when you say that she has a chazaka, that she's a liar? What that means is that her claim is viewed as a lie. And therefore, I shouldn't believe the witnesses. You're right that the witnesses have no prior record with us. The witnesses didn't do anything wrong. But they're being brought in support of something that we think is false. You follow? So that's the Ritva's question. He says, why are we even going anywhere with this? V'yesh lomar, but he says, you could say the following. Dehade amrinan dehuchzika hi lo shehuchzika lit on sheker. Ela shehuchzika lahavi eide sheker v'ulai ta'anasa emes. The Ritva gives you a fine distinction. He says, when we say she has a chazaka, it isn't she has a chazaka that her words are false. It's that she has a chazaka of bringing false witnesses. Two different things. Her claim could still be true. We haven't proven her claim false. We just know that you can't trust her to show up with witnesses in Beis Din, because anybody she brings, there we go again, she likes to bring false witnesses. But it doesn't mean the claim itself has been proven false. The claim itself hasn't been proven anything. All you've done is you've shown that she brings liars to testify in court. That's all. And that's why we're still open to the idea of hearing from the next set.
Did that chazaka stay with her now going forward, or even in a different case?
Yeah. So it like, would sound like it, no?
Years later, does she bring a new random other claim? And
so she just locked up.
Unless there's some kind of statute of limitations. Yeah.
Right. I'm saying that could be enough for me to through whether or not her claim has a chazaka.
Right.
Or
correct. Correct. Right. That's true. So that's the story. Reish Lakish says she has a chazaka. Forget, don't listen to these guys. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, these witnesses didn't do anything wrong. Listen to the witnesses. That's story number one. Story number two. Zimnin havayas v'kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. What you need to know here is Rabbi Yochanan is senior to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan and a Talmud of Reish Lakish. He was a Talmud of both of them. So Rabbi Elazar is sitting there when Reish Lakish gives his answer in a Beis Din case. Rabbi Elazar contradicts Reish Lakish's statement. Now both Rabbi Elazar and Reish Lakish are sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and the same case comes up in Rabbi Yochanan's Beis Din. So they're sitting in front of him. Asa ki hai maisa lekamayu. A case like that came in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Reish Lakish huchzikazu, and Reish Lakish gave the same answer he gave before. He says she has a chazaka. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan turns to Reish Lakish and he says, "Im huchzikazu kol Yisrael mi huchziku." He says what Rabbi Elazar said before. He says she may have a chazaka, but these new witnesses don't have a chazaka. Hadar chazye le Rabbi Elazar bishus. Reish Lakish looks at Rabbi Elazar and gives him the eye. He says, "Hey pal." Amarle, Shamet Mili mi Barnafcha v'lo Amarli Mishme. You heard something from the son of the blacksmith. That's Rabbi Yochanan's nickname, and you didn't tell it to me in his name. Meaning, you acted like you came up with this brilliant idea of, you know, she has the chazaka. It's not this one has the chazaka. You were just quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't you say so? That's his challenge to Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara is going to go on with what's actually happening here. But I had to give you some added material. There's background you need to know about this dialogue going on between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. The question you have to ask, first of all, is in Yana Diyoma, Purim is coming up, Matzai Shabbos, called Davar Homer Davar B'Shem Omer Mevi Geula La'olam, right? You say something in the name of the person you heard it from, you bring redemption to the world. We can say that because Mordechai says, Esther says in the name of Mordechai that Bigtan and Teresh wanted to kill Achashverosh, and the result is Mordechai gets a parade down Times Square, right? And somehow that helps to contribute to the downfall of Haman, because Charvona tells the story about how he wants to kill Mordechai and all of that. So you bring Geula by quoting things. So why didn't Rabbi Elazar quote Rabbi Yochanan? Right, Rabbi Elazar is quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't say it was Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't he say it explicitly? So the Ritva gives two explanations. I brought it on the sheet, but I'm going to say it outside of it because we're running out of time. Either Rabbi Elazar didn't actually hear it from Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish thought that he heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, but he actually did not hear it from Rabbi Yochanan. Happened to be. They both had the same argument. It was a logical argument, and the Rebbe came up with the idea. The Talmud came up with the idea separately. That's number one. Alternatively, because Rabbi Elazar took it as a given that everybody knew that everything he said came from Rabbi Yochanan. Because we have that and in a Gemara in Yevamos that actually happens elsewhere. This idea that I don't have to say it's from him because everybody knows everything I say comes from him. He's my Rebbe Muvhak. I learned all my Torah from him. So therefore, he didn't feel need to say it. But if so, then you have to ask the question the other way. Then why did Rish Lakish get upset? And why didn't Rabbi Lazar offer this justification? Why didn't Rabbi Lazar say, okay, but that's why? So I saw an answer from the Aruch Lener, who offered an explanation. The Aruch Lener says that Rabbi Lazar did not explain that all of his learning came from Rabbi Yochanan because he was, as I just said to you before, a Talmud of both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And he was wary that saying to Reish Lakish, well, I didn't say it was from Rabbi Yochanan because everybody knows that everything I say I learned from Rabbi Yochanan, would have been a little bit of a diss. Like, better at this point to cut your losses and just don't give the answer you could have given. You'll be better off that way. And that's the Aruch Lener's answer. But there's something going on in the dynamic between Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Lazar bar Pedas. You have a Gemara in Ksuvos, Chaf Hayam and Beis, where they have a similar exchange. You have a Gemara in Zvachim where Reish Lakish says something and Rabbi Lazar brings a Tana to support Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish makes fun of him because he says, I have a better source than that. Like, there's some dynamic there. The ultimate example of it, if you know the there's a story that you may be familiar with about when Reish Lakish passed away. You know that story? So the Gemara above Mitzia, it's a little bit of a complicated story, Pei Gimel, Pei Dalet. But the point of the story is that Reish Lakish passes away and Rabbi Yochanan, he's so depressed and he's so upset, he just wants to die. And the Talmidim think that they're going to help him out. And they bring him somebody to replace Reish Lakish to be his sparring partner in learning. But every time Rabbi Yochanan says something, this new sparring partner who they bring says, I have 24 different arguments that I could bring to support what you're saying. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't need somebody to support what I'm saying. When I used to say something, Reish Lakish would bring me 24 reasons why I was wrong. I don't need somebody to give me 24 reasons why I'm right. And Rabbi Yochanan, in the end, they daven for Hashem to have mercy on him, and he dies. The new person they brought in to replace Reish Lakish was Rabbi Elazar. So there's a lot going on in the dynamic here between Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elazar, and I haven't yet figured out, like, you know, how to untangle all of it.
What do you think it is that they were doing? Because it says they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan.
Right. So usually that means learning. Usually it means learning. But there is some kind of a case, so it must be based in. Yeah, it sounds like it.
You're allowed to have, like, so let's say you have three Rabbanim on the based in, right? Is it three typically?
So, unless it's a capital case.
Right. So you're allowed to have a Rebbe and his Talmud?
So you could definitely have a Rebbe and his Talmud on the based in, but what you often had was the based in and the Talmidim sitting in front of the based in. And that could be what was happening here.
Yeah.
That could be what was happening. You had the Talmidim sitting in front of the Beis Din. That was a normal practice. So what we didn't get to, God willing we'll do next time, is answering all of this. And who, you know, what do you do in this case where somebody just brings you serially, you know, false witnesses? So what happens when they bring one and they get lucky and they tell the truth? Do I say they have a chazaka, they're no good, or not? So God willing, next time we'll pick up with that. I believe we're back.